Today is Monday, July 29th, and you're listening to The Job. Job, a talk show about art, design, music, business, culture, and parenting. I'm your world-famous host, Ray, and our guest on episode 23 is Jason Sturgill, artist, educator, and designer. But first, let's talk to the oldest daughter of Needmore Studio Director, Zoe Ray Briglib. Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm not a director.
No, Mommy is.
Oh.
Yeah. That makes sense. What are you?
A clothing designer when I grow up.
That's right. Is there a favorite kind of clothing that you like that you would want to design?
No, I just want to design any clothing that I can design.
Oh, yeah? Is there a favorite thing that you like to wear?
Uh-huh.
What do you like to wear?
I like to wear dresses.
Dresses. Do you have a favorite color?
Yes, rainbow.
Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Any other favorite colors?
No, just rainbow and sparkly.
Rainbow and sparkly. Okay. Do you think you would use those a lot in your designs?
Yes.
Excellent.
Rainbow is a lot of colors.
It is. That's true. How many colors?
I don't know how many colors.
Okay. Just curious. And what brings you down to the studio today?
You guys, you planned this.
That's right. And what have you been doing today at work? Have you been making websites?
No, watching My Little Pony.
Oh, right, watching My Little Pony. Is that your favorite show?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite pony?
I don't know which one is my favorite pony.
Oh, really?
All of them are my favorite ponies.
All of them?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's...
They're
that's
all pretty.
They are all pretty. You don't have a... Is it... Because I remember for a while, your favorite one was Rainbow Dash, wasn't it?
Well, now... Actually... Rainbow Dash and also Princess Cadence and Princess Celestia and Princess Luna and also Rarity and Twilight Sparkle and Sweetie Belle and Apple Bloom are my favorite.
Okay. So a short list of seven? Got it. Why do you like the princesses so much? They seem to make up almost half of your list.
Well, because they're so pretty.
They're pretty. Yeah. Do you think it's do you think that's important?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because.
Why is being pretty important?
Because it's so pretty.
It just is. Okay. And what do you think you're going to do with the rest of your day?
Probably hang out with someone that's my papa for the rest time. That's lunchtime.
Oh, lunchtime. Yeah. What do you think you might have for lunch?
I don't know.
Do you have if you could pick anything for lunch, what would you pick?
I don't know.
Oh gosh, would you pick just a big bucket of French fries?
Maybe, or a big bucket of dessert.
Bucket of dessert.
Uh huh.
Like ice cream.
Like lots of kinds of dessert.
Like ice cream covered in popcorn?
Like lots of kinds of desserts.
Like more than that?
Yeah, more than that.
I see. Do you have another favorite show besides My Little Pony?
Dinosaur Train.
Dinosaur Train?
And also my favorite movie is Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's a good movie. You know, that's one of my favorites, too.
Mommy, what's your favorite movie?
Well, you know, I was thinking that Mary Poppins is actually playing in the park on Friday here in Portland.
Wow.
Maybe that's something we need to go see.
Wow, yeah.
On the big screen.
The big screen.
The biggest. The park big screen.
Is it bigger than this?
It is. I would hope so.
Yeah. I guess it depends on your distance. So you have, yeah, okay. Well, thanks for talking to us, Zoe. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
I'm gonna just watch more of My Little Pony.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, hon. Jason Sturgill is an artist, designer, and educator based in Portland, Oregon, with a background in advertising, graphic design, and the curatorial. We recently spoke about all these things and more at the Need More World headquarters. You're invited to listen as we chat with Jason. Everybody. So let's start the interview because there's some gems that are just slipping through.
Okay.
Here. Okay. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
How the hell are you?
Doing fairly well.
Okay, good.
It's not too hot today.
No, it's nice out. I'm afraid to turn on the AC because it always makes this like noise that drives me crazy in the recording, but maybe I should.
Yeah, no, it's moderate.
It's okay for now, I guess.
Yeah.
If I start sweating profusely, we'll... you know, we've got a little time. Why don't you start by telling me like where you're from?
All right. Well, I'm actually from sort of nearby. It's a small little town up north called Longview, Washington.
Okay.
It's a kind of a blue-collar mill town. And, yeah, raised there. Born in Alabama, but then kind of went all over military dad and then settled in Longview. And then, yeah, that's kind of where I'm from.
How long have you been in Portland?
I would always come down to Portland for okay. like shows and to buy skateboards and stuff like that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go to La Luna all the time, which was an all ages club back in the day. But, then I went to undergrad at Washington State in Pullman. And, after I graduated from there, I made the official move as a Portland resident in 98.
Okay.
So, since then.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Been a while.
Yeah, I think that's about when I moved here, too. Mm. Interesting. You've kind of been in, like, Portland's orbit for even longer than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
It's like you were living on the moon in Longview.
Yeah, and I was, you know, going back home and for summers during college, but then, you know, I interned for nail distribution and stuff like that. So I was involved in kind of more of the music end of things when I was in school.
Okay.
So.
So I think where I first met you might have been at the gallery that you ran.
The Worst Gallery?
Yeah.
Like when we did a show at the Cleaners or Design Within Reach. I wonder how far back it was.
Not sure.
How
did that come about?
That came about, I was working at Wyden, and I think, yeah, it was when I started at Wyden, I was an interactive producer. And so I think just noticing that there wasn't a lot of in the way of online art galleries at the time, and I was always just really, I was interested in art, but I wasn't interested in how kind of inaccessible I felt it was at the time, and still is to some degree, and how, you know, there's kind of a lot of exclusivity and just kind of, you know, galleries and museums in general are kind of not the most approachable institutions a lot mm-hmm. of times. So, yeah, I was just interested in creating some art projects that people could view from wherever and hopefully get something out of. So while I was at Wyden, I just kind of, you know, made my own website, sent out some invitations for the first show. The other kind of main concept behind that was just to have all of the shows be kind of conceptual in nature where all the artists were kind of given a similar constraint. and kind of had to respond to that idea and, and seeing how each one of them interpret it, you know, in a different way. So, so the first show was the Russian nesting doll show, and where I sent everybody blank Russian nesting dolls.
Okay. Yes, I well, I remember that one. So yeah, yeah I think I probably yeah.
And then we had that that we had since it was, we didn't have a physical space, so we most of the time it was just online. But for that show, we exhibited the dolls at Design Within Reach, since it was in the first it's in the first floor of Wyden. And Craig, who is now the owner of Canoe, was kind enough to let me use the space. So.
Oh, okay. He was at Design Within Reach back then.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He used to be a manager there, and then before starting Canoe.
I love Canoe.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're having a new store. Did you hear about the new
store?
No,
that's awesome.
Yeah, do you know the Union Way space? I think that's what it's called. The new space, it's like the... I've been calling it the portal, which sounds all science fiction-y, but between Ace Hotel and Powell's books, there's that there's the building that was like the Red Cap garage and stuff, and they've of like gone straight through it and made this hole, and then it's retail on both sides.
No, is that where the living room theater is?
Yeah, the same block.
Yeah, okay.
But sort of in the middle of it.
Huh. No, that's cool.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be amazing. So they're starting a new store there, and there's, I guess, a bunch of other really amazing retail going in there.
Oh, that's great. What a cool block to do that on.
Yeah, it's that area is definitely transformed from what it was back in 1998.
Yeah, no, like one of my first jobs when I moved here right around then was... The guy who had owned those businesses, like the Fish Grotto and that, or maybe it was the landlord of that building, he wanted to open a coffee shop in Powell's Technical called the Hard Drive Cafe. So I became the barista there, and so I remember every morning I would have to come in like to that weird building and like make my way through the maze of the stuff there to like find all the stuff and then walk it over to Powell's.
Did they? So they actually had the hard drive? I don't remember that, but I didn't drink coffee back then.
Yeah, no, it was in Powell's Technical.
Huh.
Did not get much business.
Yeah.
I basically read technical books all day.
Oh, funny.
Which actually was fine by me.
Yeah.
Have I'd you probably still be working there.
Have you eaten at the Fish Grotto?
No, never.
That's like, that place has always mystified me, because I love the sign on it, the side. It's like one of my favorite Portland signs, and they have amazing reviews on Yelp, and I've always just kind of wrote it off because you never hear anybody talk about it, but yeah, it sounds interesting. I've been curious to try it.
So you haven't eaten there?
No.
Oh. I don't know. I guess it must be good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird. So, okay, let's take a step back then, since I sort of jumped right into the worst. Tell me about how you came to, you know, become a you know, interactive producer, or how you even got into design in the first place professionally.
Well, my undergrad was in marketing, actually.
Okay.
And I always say that, you know, everything that I learned wasn't from classes in school. It was from everything that I did outside of class. I booked all the shows for the university, so all the concerts that happened on campus were the things that I organized with a committee. I had a group of people that helped. And then I was a radio DJ at the station there, KZUU. And then I also... So during that time when I was doing that, I started a record label. Since I found I could get college credit since I was a marketing student, I started a record label, and through having all the bands come to WSU and putting on the shows, I was meeting lots of great bands that I loved. It was basically being able to book all my favorite bands and have them come play for me. So Modest Mouse was just starting up at the time, and I asked them if they wanted to release a 7-inch and start a record label with me, basically. That would have been my first release, so.
Not bad.
Yeah, so, you know, at the time they were fairly unknown, just playing, you know, a lot of house shows and stuff. So, yeah, it was a show that I had with them, and they said yes, and I was kind of teaching myself a lot of design. It's funny thinking back now and thinking that I was on a PC, like, had gone from, in college, from a word processor, using a word processor in college, which seems so ancient, to this archaic PC that I was, think I was running Microsoft Desktop Publishing mm-hmm. and doing like show posters mm-hmm. With. But then I was also getting exposed to gig posters. Like, you know, before gig posters were gig posters, I was noticing a lot of great work coming out of Portland by Mike King and people like that. And so I started getting posters done for our shows. And so I think those things were really getting me interested in design. And when we did the 7-inch, I designed the 7-inch with Jeremy, the drummer from Modest Mouse, and we kind of worked on it together and had it screen printed here in Portland. And got some baby blue vinyl made in Czechoslovakia. And it was, I mean, I think that was really the thing that kind of started me thinking about it, but not even still realizing that that was a job that I could have,
mm-hmm.
but definitely got me inspired to design more stuff on my own, realizing mm-hmm. that, you know, anybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it took me a long time to really come around to doing my own design work, kind of really professionally. When I graduated from WSU, I came and I thought I wanted to be in advertising, so I was just like, took an internship, first place I could find one, was doing that, and worked at several small agencies around Portland, and then had the opportunity to go to Wyden as an interactive producer. So that kind of started that, and yeah, kind of went from there.
Do you think that do you wish that you had done more, studied design more in school, or do you think maybe having studied marketing was almost better?
Yeah, I don't know. That's always tough. I mean, because even right now, I feel like I'm always kind of evolving, and right now I'm really interested in illustration, which, you know, makes sense based on all the Wyrst Gallery stuff, but I feel like at the time I, for some reason, didn't feel like it was something I was capable of, but I don't know. I feel like all these different experiences, you know, it's makes up this weird combination that mm-hmm. informs your work. And so, yeah, it would totally be different, I think, if I were to study design in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. How did you end up teaching?
There's kind of a lot in the middle of that.
You can feel free to fill it in. Yeah. I'll probably get to that too.
Yeah. Cause I feel like it was kind of all those things that led up to that. But basically, I went to grad school, and as part of grad school, you're at PSU, at least you're given the opportunity to teach. It's kind of a requirement that you teach some classes. So, given that, I had a lot of design experience. They made it an option for me to teach in the design program rather than the art program. Oh. And since I knew Kate Bingham and Bert, it was kind of a really easy thing to just kind of, I worked with her. Actually, first I co-taught a class with Drew Bell. Kate had even asked me to do some adjunct teaching with Driscoll Reed, who I had done some work with. We were gonna teach some classes together before I even thought about grad school. And then, so once I was in grad school, I still ended up teaching with Drew Bell and then kind of assisted Kate on a class, and it kind of progressed from there to now I'm teaching, you know, one or two classes a term.
Hmm.
So, and then doing freelance on the side.
So yeah, right now it seems like you're teaching, you're doing freelance. You seem to be making, it seems like you're making art.
Yeah.
I see lots of output on Instagram.
Yeah. Trying to, it's tough. It's like, I feel like I mean, as you know, when you're a parent, it's tougher to get your sort of self-motivated projects out there.
Yeah, I mean, you're married, you have a kid now, you know, a lovely family. It seems like, you know, I have a way more respect for people who have kids who still manage to, like, you know, it's one thing to just, like, do, like, a 9-to-5 thing, but to, like in your position, it's like you have to, like, find more maybe intrinsic motivation or something. You know, it's not like you're just going in and sitting at a desk and stuff. It's like, do you, I mean, what's the, I mean, you even bring Archer out to, like, events. Like, what's the trick there? Is it just becomes habit?
Yeah, I mean, we took him to an art show, like, I want to say the second week he was out of the hospital.
It doesn't surprise me.
And we actually got, I don't know, it was funny, when we were at the art show, I won't name names, but we were warned. They were like, oh, your baby's really young. He's really susceptible. It was like the winter. They're like, susceptible to, like, colds and things like that. Like, you shouldn't have your baby out here, basically. Mm. But it was funny.
Yeah.
And he turned out okay so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying to do the same thing, but with camping, I guess.
Oh, yeah. We're not so much outdoors people, so...
Neither am I.
Yeah. We went to Sou'wester. Have you guys gone to Sou'wester yet?
No.
Oh, have you heard about it?
No.
Wow, you guys should definitely go. It's Long Beach in Washington. It's basically right next to Long Beach. It's I believe it's somebody that was involved with the Delta and Miss Delta, I believe. I'm not sure if they were owner. Can't remember, but... they bought this old campground that is it's made up of mainly old Airstream trailers.
Okay.
And so it's all these amazing old trailers. Like, some of them, there's one that's like a double-decker trailer that has, you know, multiple rooms and bathrooms and everything. And then so you stay in the trailers, and they're all been, like, outfitted
that's
and
awesome.
Decorated. Yeah. And... and then they have also a lodge, more of like a house thing, and some small houses that you can rent those as well. But they're really involved in the music scene. They have bands playing there all the time, so you get to see these, like, amazing bands.
You got to write this down.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
On the weekends, and or maybe even all the time. But they have record labels involved with it, and they have this amazing store that has an honor system that you can, like, get some vinyl, and you just put in the amount. And nobody's there. They also have a trailer that's a thrift store that's sort of supervised in honor system as well. It's pretty awesome.
This sounds like something like from like the early 70s or something you would have heard about in like Southern California or something.
Yeah, but that was definitely roughing it for us, even though we were in like a fully equipped trailer. So that's as close as we've gotten to camping. But Archer loved it.
Yeah. Another thing that I've noticed that you do a lot is, like, I guess you'd call it, curatorial work.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's an outgrowth of what you did at The Worst, kind of, putting together shows with people that have a theme, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What is it about that interests you so much? And where do you think that interest in that comes from in particular? Because I mean, I think if someone were to describe that the act of doing that mm-hmm. job or something, I would say, oh, that's what Jason does.
Yeah.
Where does that come from, that urge to do that? Or
I don't know. I think I've always been interested in, like, finding the things that are hidden and, like, just making discoveries and kind of, like, looking outside of the normal venues for things, whether it, you know, and I think a lot of that started in music,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to find interesting bands and from there it went into, you know, artists and trying to discover new artists that hadn't been discovered. And so that's somehow it's worked itself into all of the jobs that I've had. I mean, even at Wyden Interactive, a lot of that was, you know, discovering people like Friends With You, who at the time were, you know, totally unknown, and getting them involved in Nike projects. You know, there was also, I ended up, after the dot-com bust, they sort of disbanded the Interactive group in that, and I started doing kind of more strategic planning on the Nike account and working with creatives and helping them kind of finding culturally relevant things to their concepts. And so there was a project where they wanted to shoot a robot kicking a soccer ball, and I had just seen this short film by this film student. And we ended up bringing him in and filming the commercial, and he went on to film District 9. And so, like, that's, like, the kind of things that mm-hmm. I've always gravitated to. And then somehow, like, I went and worked at Leica as a consultant doing the same thing, like, lining mm-hmm. up artists for them. It was right during the rebranding from Vinton Studios to Leica, and they had me come in and bring in artists that they could represent stylistically, because I think at the time, you know, they were just known as the California Raisins people and the people that did that type of work. So
they did the M&M guy too.
Yeah. So now when you go on their site for their advertising section, there's a bunch of artists listed, and like Evan Harris and Fawn Gayweiler and all these people that I'd been working with in Doing the Worst and things. And Okay. Those are the people that are listed as their kind of other styles that they can do. And, you know, Evan worked with them on a lottery campaign that was amazing, where they animated his drawings, and it was really, really great.
Cool.
So yeah, I think the curatorial stuff, I don't know. I mean, I'm also just always interested in promoting my friends. Like, I feel like there's so many talented people that I run across, and like, I want, you know, other people to see their work. And
yeah, you seem to do a lot of, I guess, what you might call networking.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I've always hated, like, the term hustle and networking. Like, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff always just seemed kind of gross to me. But I think it's, I don't know. I just feel like I'm a curious person. Mm-hmm. And if I see something that I find interesting, I want to contact that person and tell them that I like what they're doing. And that's usually how it starts. And just more of a fan. I feel like that's, in the end, that's what I am. It's just like, I'm a, you know, fanboy of like so many things, and I let people know. So.
That actually sounds like good advice for some people.
Oh yeah. I mean, I tell our students that too. I'm like, you know, get excited about stuff. And once you find that thing that you're excited about, you know, reach out to those people, let them know that you're excited about what they're doing. I think it's, if you can do that, I think the path will kind of build itself.
So why don't you tell me about the kind of illustration that you've been doing lately? Like, how would you describe it, first of all?
How would I describe it? I definitely have been doing a lot of character-based illustrations, and very minimalist, I would say, kind of approach to that. Trying to figure out how I can make something that has kind of an emotional appeal with as few parts as I can make it with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been, and I've also been doing little things with like creating some typefaces and stuff for display. And so, yeah, I've just been, I think after doing grad school and really getting involved in that sort of world, I've kind of gotten back in love with like design and illustration, and have been incorporating more of that into both my fine art practice and commercial work.
Does your son like the illustration work?
Yeah, it's funny.
I don't think so. It seems pretty cool.
I feel like he's going to have like the most warped perspective
yeah.
Growing up. Like, it's going to be interesting when he realizes that not, like, I feel like he's like, oh, I like this thing. He's like, oh, so-and-so made that. You met them. Like, it's like always, yeah. like, we know that person. And yeah. I think he thinks that everything that's made is made by somebody that, you know, we know or something.
Boy, is he in for a
So.
It's not how the global economy works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and I mean, him, I mean, going to art shows, that's like a, I mean, is he interested in the art at the shows? I mean, yeah. Does he have opinions about the, yeah, I mean, I suppose, I mean, Zoe does when we bring her out.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you guys do the yeah. same thing. You yeah. like ask them what their favorite piece is, and I think
it's not, her opinions are never going to be the same as mine.
Oh, yeah.
She judges things largely by how much pink is in them.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know,
that's true.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's funny how naturally that evolves.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that. Like, I don't.
We definitely haven't, yeah, the whole boy girl sort of pink blue. It's like, I feel like it's somehow, I don't know, maybe it's kids at school or whatever, but.
I mean, it could be cultural. I mean, I am to blame for exposing her to My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Mainly because I think it's well illustrated. I mm-hmm. know that it's done in Flash, and mm-hmm. I think the real simplistic, I think it's well drawn cartoon.
I haven't heard that much about it, but I know there's a crazy cult following that's reemerged on around the
bronies.
Yeah, like
I'm an object of ridicule around the office because I'm essentially a vicarious brony. Like yeah. I watch it with her. I like it because we used to do Needmore used to do a lot of Flash work.
Yeah,
and so I'm really really attracted to that type of animation.
Yeah,
and I love watching that show and thinking, how did they do that in Flash?
Did you go to the? There was like a convention in Seattle recently.
No,
we have a friend's daughter who's really into it, and her and her mom went and like met the creators and everything.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, the creators wow. were there, and it was like this. Weird. I don't know what they called it. Something con, I'm sure.
Huh.
But
yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean,
did you see the making of South Park, that movie?
No.
That's amazing.
Is that on Netflix or something?
Yep,
or?
It's on Netflix.
I will check that out.
And it's actually directed by a Portland director.
Huh.
The same guy that did How's Your News. That it was like an MTV show.
I've heard of that.
He directed. It's basically inside South Park Studios for like a week, and it's all about how they get one episode together because it's such fast turnaround.
A lot of paper. Do they do it with paper?
Not that I remember. Oh, I watched it a while ago, but they it's crazy because all their shows are so topical. It's like the stuff that just happened in the news.
Yeah, super and so, quick turnaround.
Yeah, so they're basically developing ideas to the last second.
Huh. I'm generally more interested in those types of behind-the-scenes things than the actual shows, so that yeah. I would definitely like that.
Yeah.
You guys went to, I don't know, I'm totally digressing here, but you guys went to the Yo Gabba Gabba thing, didn't you? You like, went backstage or something?
I was bummed about that. I was actually in Windsor, Ontario, or Windsor, Canada, doing a tattoo project. And so I had arranged getting the tickets for those and had a ticket for myself and then realized I had double booked. And so, Archer and Sarah got to go and he met Biz Markie, which I'm still
in awe of.
And that's probably, at the moment, that's one of my most treasured photos is him and sitting on Biz Markie's lap.
That's weird. Like, so Biz Markie, some of the guests travel with the Yo Gabba Gabba show.
Yeah, it's like Biz was there. We went last year too in Seattle, and this is the first year they've done it in Portland. But last year they had another guest, the Gem Sweater Girl. I can't remember her name. Mm. This one, she was a YouTube sort of sensation, and then they brought her on the show, and then she toured with them.
Okay. I'm a little behind on my watch, on my viewing.
Oh, we just watch it on, we've got like some library rentals and we only have Netflix really at home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Did you see that the Simpsons Portlandia episode?
No.
Oh my gosh. You gotta see it. Cause there's this point in there, which I think you would probably relate to too, where the kid, it's like this Portland family that moves to, Springfield.
Okay.
And so the kid in the family asked Bart or somebody to watch a show with them, and they asked to watch some popular show. And he's like, no, I can only watch the stuff in my dad's Netflix queue. And it was like some Japanese animated cartoon.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
Basically, I feel, yeah, I mean, we actually have no means of television reception at all. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know,
yeah,
the hipster thing to say, like, oh, I don't have a TV. Well, I have a TV. It just doesn't work. It only gets Netflix. So every time you see a big screen of red, my daughter's like, oh, Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing how much they can navigate it. It's like, I wish they had some way that you could, even the iPhone, like, I'm surprised there hasn't been something developed that allows you to restrict like which apps they can use, and then in Netflix like restrict to let them only view certain things, because Archer's been really wanting to watch the Aquabats,
right?
And I'm just like, I don't know, it's got kind of monsters in it, I think you're a little bit young.
Yeah
So
yeah, that's funny. I think that the Amazon added something like that to the Kindle, where you can say like they're allowed to watch an hour of Netflix a day or whatever, Amazon Prime or whatever, and they can only use these apps. I don't think Apple, maybe they'll do that soon. They should.
I tell cable at Panic, I was like, oh, you need to develop. And I think there's some reason he told me, but it's all over my head. But
he just started saying ones and zeros and bits and bytes. And yeah.
But yeah, it seems like it's a no-brainer. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about parenting. Every time I have someone with kids, we end up talking about parenting.
I know.
So what do you think you're gonna do next? Do you want to keep doing the illustration? Do you have any like cool projects coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely hoping to do more illustration work. I've done a bit of editorial stuff, which I really enjoyed, with the Willamette Week and things like that, and trying to connect with more people in publishing to do that sort of stuff. But I'm still doing kind of these curatorial projects as well. This sort of just happened, and we kind of just, we're still finalizing it, but I'm on the committee for Design Week Portland again this year.
Mm.
And I'm creating an event that I'm going to work with homebrewers in Portland and pairing them with independent designers to create labels for their beers.
Nice.
So
that's a great idea.
Yeah. So I think the project's going to be called Homebrewed by Design, kind of talking about sort of the independence of, people that choose to work as freelance and go on their own, and same with homebrewers. And so we're going to have the labels created and then have a tasting of all the beers and things like that. I'm working on it with Eric Steen, who went through the same grad program in art and social practice at PSU, and he does a lot of projects around beer and developing these. He's got this one project called Beers Made by Walking, where they go on these walks with the small breweries and they make a beer based on the walk. And so he knows a lot more about the beer culture and stuff. So he's kind of handling the beer side, and then I'm handling kind of the design side.
Nice.
So, and the idea is that homebrewers will create kind of a creative brief based on what they're interested in and what they think their beer kind of represents. And then I'm going to sort of play matchmaker and pair them off with independent designers in the area that I think would be a good fit.
That's a great idea.
So,
yeah, what I wasn't sure if I should sign up for the studio tour at Design Week.
Yeah,
but what is Design Week all about? What is that?
I mean, it's the second year. I think it's still figuring out exactly what its true identity is. But I think it's last year there was a great response. A lot of really great events. I think this year is going to be a little bit more of an expansion to kind of reach out. I think there was a lot of places that once they found out about it wanted to be involved. So there'll be more people doing open studios. There's going to be more people doing events. But it's basically celebration of design in Portland. And there's going to be a film festival that similar to what we had last year. There's going to be a YouTube event, Getting to Know YouTube, which has been going on at the Hollywood Theater. They're going to do a design sort of oriented one that I'm going to be curating. Lots of different stuff. I don't know. Did you get a chance to see anything last year?
No, I didn't make it last year.
Mm. I would encourage you guys to do something.
It was right around the birth of my second daughter, it was a challenging time to make
tie up your schedule.
To free up, this year I'm sure I'll be around for it. Because no more of them.
Yeah.
No more of them.
Yes.
What do you think it is about Portland that makes the design community here so awesome?
I don't know. We were talking about that in the studio the other day. We definitely live in a bubble. We had some designer friends, artists come from out of town that were visiting our studio, and we were talking about, I think somebody, another friend of ours, they were contemplating LA and Portland as a new place, and I think they described it as feeling like this weird, it's like a utopia kind of thing where you're bringing all these sort of like-minded people to kind of create the world you want to live in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's in the water. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the old.
Yeah, maybe fluoridation is bad for
design. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah. So that's maybe that's why that got defeated.
Maybe. That would be a new theory. Do you have like a favorite restaurant in Portland right now?
That's like a whole show in itself. We could talk about food all day.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I feel like, food and kind of design and things like that are like what makes Portland amazing.
Yeah, food for sure. I mean, I find since having kids, food carts are really, really good option.
Yeah, kid-friendly places are definitely hard to come by.
Yeah.
We have had some temper tantrums thrown in some places that I don't think we're very appreciative of.
Yeah.
That. So, we're always looking for a new kid-friendly place that isn't overrun. Like Hopworks is like known as the kid-friendly place, so it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And food carts are good because they're outside and they can let off some steam.
And their screams aren't like echoing around.
Yeah,
in the
totally. But Loretta Jeans. Have you been there yet?
Yeah.
Across from Ava Jeans, which is really confusing.
Right.
But they have the best biscuits and gravy I've ever had. So that's kind of my new breakfast spot.
I had their biscuits and gravy. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I haven't even tried their pies, which is, I think, the thing that they're
known for. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we did get their pudding, which they have in like a mason jar.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. So I love that place. Went to Roman Candle for the first time today.
Okay.
And that was great.
Someone brought some of their stuff by yesterday for a meeting.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Nicole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah. They have the Queen of Mons there, which nobody else in Portland makes.
What's that?
It's this pastry. I don't even know how to fully describe it. It's super sweet, but then it's got salt on top. And so it's this really great combination. But there was a place on Burnside called Alder Bakery that was around for a little bit. And they were the ones, they were making it. And people that knew of that pastry were like, oh, they're the only place that makes it. So we were going there, and then they went out of business. And then now Roman Candle's making them. So, and it was good. I had one.
It was really. I really have a thing for good macaroons. I think if you get them fresh at Pix, they're like,
yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, I miss the old Pix location. I kind of both locations I thought were great.
Yeah.
So we haven't even really been back. We've
both. You mean like where Loretta Jeans is now, and then also like a north.
The north one. Yeah. Yeah, we...
Are they just have that one on, like...
Burnside.
Burnside, yeah.
Yeah, which we haven't even really been to, just because it's not the same anymore.
No, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I was there on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe that's why it was overwhelming.
Yeah, just the vibe is totally different.
Yeah.
I think for macaroons, we've been going to Nouvrai.
Okay.
Have you tried those?
No.
Oh, they're amazing. They have some really amazing packaging too for their, they have like a take home
box. Did Factory North do their packaging?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought they did their identity.
Oh, really?
We'll have to have,
it's so confusing. There's like so many overlaps. Like, I don't know if you've been to White Owl, but White Owl has a really great branding. And since I think there's such great collaboration between firms in town, it's really confusing on who did what. We were talking about like Sizzle Pie, because like I think Draplin did their boxes, but then OMFG Co. did all of their branding, I believe. And then White Owl is owned by the same people, but then this other guy did that. And so it's just like hard to keep track of who's doing what amazing, awesome thing that just happened.
Yeah, totally. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we should have some sort of directory. Like this new awesome thing, credits.
Directory of awesomeness.
Yeah, totally.
What about music? What do you listen to these days? Do you listen to anything while you're working?
Yeah, definitely. Spotify is. Okay. It's funny because we're in the studio. I think everybody. Well, no, maybe not Tina. I don't know what Tina does, but Kate and Will, and Clifton all are audio people.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm the lone Spotify person. But I feel like Spotify kind of got me back into music after kind of not really keeping up with stuff.
Aren't they basically the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like Spotify has a better selection.
Okay.
Maybe some more independent stuff.
It seems like RDO maybe has a better design, though. Do
you ever feel that way? But Spotify just recently redid some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Their new iPhone icon is way better.
Okay.
But
amazingly important, the icon.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't want to be seen tapping at an ugly icon as a designer.
No. Yeah, so what have I been listening to? Earl Sweatshirt from Odd Future has a couple new tracks out that I really like. Okay. Just sort of independent hip hop. I go from like a lot of different things. Cayucas, it's a band from California that they're really great. I missed seeing them at Mississippi Studios recently. And it's like one of Archer's favorites, Cayucas. There's this guy from Australia, Brendan. I was just listening to it on the ride here, and it's like my one like top volume song that I have right now. It's called Stupid. He's like a radio DJ in Australia, and he was in the new Baz Luhrmann film. What was the new Baz Luhrmann film? Anyway, his guest star in that, but Stupid, Brendan, something. It's a really great video, too. Check it out. Yeah, I'm somehow just blanking on a lot of other... How about you?
I just watched that Big Star documentary that came out.
Netflix Instant?
No. You could get it on iTunes. It's a new release, so you can get it on iTunes. Rent it for $7, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or see it at Hollywood, I think it was.
I always rent the standard definition for a few bucks less.
Yeah, those are like $5. Because none of the footage in there is...
Yeah, I'm usually watching biographies, and I'm like, I don't need...
Yeah, plus it downloads faster.
Yeah.
Which was great. So we've been re-listening to some Big Star. And I found that like Alex Chilton recorded some punk in the late 70s.
Mm.
And I found a gem of a track on there. And I'm the kind of person where I don't even have the patience for albums. Sometimes I'll just find a song that I like, put on headphones, and listen to it for like a whole afternoon.
Mm.
Like it's my meditation. Like I'll listen for like I'll listen through it just listening to just the hi-hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll play again, and then I'll listen to just the kick drum. I'll just try to mentally isolate each. It's probably because I did produce music for a brief time.
Mm.
But also, that got me wanting to listen to Wire's second album, which is really wonderfully somewhere between like punk and kind of new wave.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like really early Cure stuff, which was
So
I'm kind of right in like the punk new wave again.
Yeah,
just sort of
the Cure. That's like one of my favorite South Park episodes when they have Robert Smith on there. But there's that new what is it? There's a new this one song. I can't remember the band's name that they have Robert Smith doing guest vocals on, and it's like one of my favorite new songs too. It's It's a cover too. But yeah, they're amazing.
What's with that cat of yours? It always seems like it's about to attack.
Cheeto?
The photos, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the ears just always back like that?
No, he's called a Scottish Fold. It's a type of breed of cat that...
Okay.
They're really popular in Japan. If you do like searches for Scottish Folds, it's mostly a lot of Japanese stuff that comes up.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they're this weird mutation of cat that their ears are bend. Some of them are like totally bend forward and you can't even see their ears, basically.
Huh.
But yeah, I think he might be sort of to blame for me illustrating more because I started kind of doing drawings of him. And,
okay.
Yeah, I kind of want to make him a weird internet celebrity, but because he is kind of like the best thing. He's so funny.
Well, it can't be hard to take a cat and make it famous on the internet.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
the internet's made for cat.
Yeah, we've tried with our Instagram. He's definitely a popular feature of our Instagram.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I mean,
but
even me, even my daughter recognized that cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I made a couple of graphics of him, and starting to like sell images of him like that, and people seem to respond to that more than the other ones even.
Hmm. Well, good. I just thought the cat was always scared or angry.
No, that's the funny thing. Everybody, I think, yeah, that's weird that people think that because he is like the craziest, most cuddly cat.
Okay. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And he is kind of afraid when other people come over a little bit. It depends on the person, but yeah, he's totally the opposite. He's not, yeah. It's funny that he gives off that persona. Cool. And we need to do more videos of him, I guess. That's the key.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw there was one on your site of him like licking a popsicle or something.
Oh, yeah. Then, you know. Yeah, yeah.
That calmed me down a little.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now with Instagram video, we can definitely...
Yeah,
more.
That'll help.
Yeah. I couldn't do the Vine thing, so I'm glad that they figured that out.
Too short, or you just didn't like Vine?
I just didn't need another thing.
Yeah, another thing. The thing that bothers me about Instagram videos, I like the idea. Maybe there's an option to tell it not to automatically play. Mm. Because I'll have like my phone like on my ringer, and I'll just be like, oh, you know, I'll just casually... You know,
yeah.
Flip through Instagram while everyone else is working here, and then it's like, like some video. It's like, no, don't just play.
I kind of have the opposite problem where I always have my ringer off,
mm-hmm.
and I always have to like I'm scrolling through and I want to hear it, then I have to like turn my ringer on. It's weird because like on YouTube, even if you have your ringer off, it still plays the audio.
Hmm.
So. I don't know. Weird.
I have noticed that. Yeah. Some apps will and some apps won't. Mm-hmm. I wonder why. Maybe we'll never know. Jason, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Where do you want people to find you on the internet?
Just jasonsturgill.com. You can find all the latest, craziest things I'm up
to. There.
Tattoos and illustrations. I've got all that stuff on there. And
cats.
Yeah, and then Instagram. I feel like I'm probably more active on my Instagram, JGSPDX.
Cool.
Latest, a lot of design inspiration mostly, I feel like.
Yep.
I post on there.
Cool.
Go to Sarah for the kid pictures mostly.
Right. Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's easier if I just look.
Just start. So we went camping. It was great.
Yeah.
We brought our hobo pie maker.
Right.
For the first time ever. And cooking with fire is fun.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's, you know, obviously super temperamental. It's so kind of a lot of wild cards at play. But I felt like the... the first morning there, you were making these breakfast sandwiches, and it was like each one was better, but it was like then you get full, like maybe before the whole thing like comes to perfect fruition. So perhaps we need to write down these recipes, certainly, because you were kind of like making it up as you went. Like it was like, well, we have some hot dogs left. We'll throw those in with the eggs and the...
Well, eggs are temperamental, but so there's a couple things I figured out. I don't know, you know, there's probably more pro ways of doing this, but if you let the fire burn for about an hour, and then you get these going, kind of like coals, and you separate those out a little bit, or you find that pocket, then those coals sort of become the burner, or that kind of the oven area, and then if you put the hobo pie maker in there, then you're kind of more baking what you're making, where if you try to cook over the flames, it's like you're searing. And so we were making like little egg pies. And so, you know, the outside would crisp and the inside would be gooey. But once we had the nice coals going and gave it a little bit of time, beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
That I sort of learned, I think, from trial and error. So this is something that we've been talking about. We've been doing a ton of research about like camp recipes, right?
Yeah.
Like I've been sitting my evenings and all of these people are writing these great recipes, but they're like lifestyle blogging. So they're not like recipe
it's
websites.
It's not like a single source where people can contribute and browse through, you know, a comprehensive list of camping recipes. And, you know, it's funny because you and I have such different styles. Like, I just want to get, like, a stove. Like, it's like making coffee. Well, if I'm making coffee, I'll get, like, the jet boil and, you know, precisely 2 minutes till you have boiling water, which is not true.
Right.
It does not take 2 minutes.
I do. I have this desire to fully understand the fire before I have a stove. And I don't even know, like, I feel like it'll take me 2 years before I'm even slightly ready for the stove. Like, right now I've got a couple skewers and that hobo pie maker and some tin foil.
And so, I mean, we've typically only camped for a couple of nights, but...
Sure, yeah, this is
it's
like...
It's been totally adequate. Like, there's no shortage of things to try and you know, experiment.
It's fun. Yeah. I could use just those tools and explore them for the rest of the summer at least. I probably have 5 more camping trips, I would guess.
So a little background, I guess, is that we have built a website before for sharing recipes.
That's right. We did.
Not
for recipes that are cooked in any way, but...
Yeah, it was for raw recipes, and we're not raw foodists at this point. So we're thinking, well, what if we... Can I say it?
I think you are. I think there's no going back now, Ray. Right. So starting to create a space where people, you know, so we get really excited about our new adventures.
Yeah.
And I know us. And I know that for the next at least 2 or 3 years, every summer, we are going to be absolutely obsessed with camping. We kind of go through these
I hope so.
Phases.
We've invested so much in this.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, creating a site like this is something that we would enjoy technically, but also maybe people would post recipes that we could go camping and test out and talk about. And
you know, we do.
Oh, my God, it would be so awesome.
Well, I have a sort of a philosophy about that, and maybe I should just drop some philosophy here, but it's like... So we do a lot of kinds of, obviously our bread and butter is client projects, and that's fun, and we love our clients, and it's unicorns and ponies and everything. But every once in a while, it's nice to do something that is pro bono, like when we did the Equality House thing. And sometimes it's nice to do things that are kind of like, what if we, you know, kind of scratch your own itch thing. And it's like I look at it as like, so I'm like Da Vinci, right?
I was looking at you and I was thinking, this
thinking.
Guy, he's
Someone
cut
had to
like
say
Da
it.
Vinci. Yeah.
No, but seriously, like, it's kind of like, you know, we have friends who get super obsessive about a certain thing. Well, like you about camping. But okay. Where it's like you don't just want to like follow. It's like if you get really into something, sometimes it's like you don't want to just pick up a notebook and start writing about it. You want to like make that notebook, or you want to like, mm-hmm. you know, like hunt that animal, or like just like really go all out.
Okay.
And like, well, if this is my hobby, if this is something that I'm passionate about, I want to try to do the whole sure. thing, like see the full life cycle of this project. And sometimes for me with web design, it's like, well, sometimes I want to try to not use like WordPress and all this. Like I could just start a blog and write about, but you know, anyone could just start a blog. It's like, I want to like build a system for sharing recipes and turn it into an app and an iBook and all this stuff.
You know? One of the things for me is that I'm so excited about it that I keep wanting to talk to other people about it. And mm-hmm. so like, as I'm researching, you know, I'm posting all these like crazy things to Facebook, like, what are you making when you go camping? And that's been exciting. A lot of people have sent me links to recipes that they love.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm finding is that people are using like a text documents where yeah. they're keeping their recipes, or they're writing them down, or they have a list of links to like, here's 10 that I like, and they're in all these disparate places.
Yeah.
And camping, so I use Paprika to keep all of my recipes together.
Uh-huh.
But I've been putting all of my camp recipes in there, and it's getting mixed in with all of my other ones. And it's like, you know, there's just this one time when I would make like the hobo pie thing, you know, it's not really, I don't really want it filtering up into the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just like one day at home, bust that out and make something. So, you know, I'd like a
skewer over the stove. I just had a hankering for right. camp food.
Yeah. And you know, it feels near impossible for us to delve into something as much as we are into camping and not want to bring it into the rest of our life. Like mm-hmm. I keep wanting to blog about these iterations with these breakfast sandwiches. You know, like, where do I share that? Where do I share, like, I did it this way first, and then this way, and then this way, and then this turned out to be, like, the best thing.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny that we went from making like a raw food website to like a website like cooking with fire. Like, well, okay, we've actually made the step of cooking, but only over a fire. Like, not like the stove.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but and in some ways, like you appropriately make light of the fact that it's kind of the opposite of raw foods, but in a way it's kind of like, it's very similar in that like it's a sort of a focused, exclusive passion. Like, you know, you could go to there's lots of, you know, recipe websites that are like, we have 3 billion recipes mm-hmm. and obviously 4 million of them are for camping. But it's like, that's totally different. It's like, there's a certain type of, like when we made the raw food website, it was like there were certain parameters we knew we had and certain, you know, like, for example, you kind of, when you're making a general purpose website, you wouldn't necessarily be thinking, do you need a dehydrator? Mm-hmm. Do you need a, you know, these certain equipment that a raw foodist is going to have on hand or is thinking about buying and wants to know like what you could make when you had one. And it's all like camping. It's like, you know, your general purpose website isn't going to like be like, yeah, okay, well, how do you factor in a hobo pie maker or some crazy right. thing like that? Or like, you know,
sure, we can actually start to think about
what makes them unique.
The equipment that someone is going to bring camping and yeah. even make that like check if you need to use, you know, skewers. Check if this is a fire or a
what we did with our last site was like, well, if you didn't have a dehydrator, you just wouldn't see the recipes that required that equipment. And that was something that was unique to our site. And same with this. It's like, well, if you have a hobo pie maker, like,
oh, that's a great idea. So like in your thing about yourself, you can check like, this is the equipment I have.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then
idea,
you can
yeah.
only see recipes out of that. Or you can say like, show me all recipes.
Right.
Aspirationally. Like right. I want.
But by default, maybe it doesn't show you the.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's make it.
All right.
No big deal. Just whip it up.
Okay.
We have a lengthy process, don't we? It'll
get done. I don't know. Not really. I mean, when we had the Gone Raw thing, I swear we had that site up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You forced me to stall until we had like a dozen recipes. I was just like, oh, I've already written it. Let's get it up. That's kind of yeah. how I am now. I've already like started writing it in evenings and weekends.
Let's design this one.
Yeah, let's design it.
Let's make mock-ups.
You know what, Candace? People yes. loved that original Gonra design.
Oh, sure.
Never
absolutely.
Liked it better than that first, you know, very clean, simple design.
We'll make a clean and simple design.
We had some interesting ideas about design. I think this one will be a lot better designed, for sure.
Have the experience pour it all into this. It'll be fun.
Yeah. All right.